This is gospel meeting for tonight, and if there's anyone who wasn't here earlier today, we thank you for coming, and we trust that you'll hear something of the words of life. Let's start this evening by singing number 51 in the appendix. Oh, what a gift the Father gave when He bestowed His Son to save poor, ruined, guilty man by sin defiled, undone. For I was lost and vile indeed, to sin a willing prey, till God in mercy interposed and turned my night to day. 51 in the appendix.
The Father gave when He bestowed His Son to save poor, ruined, guilty men by sin defiled undone. For I was lost and vile indeed to save a
tonight that everyone here will be able to claim the third verse. I can call the Savior mine. We look to the Lord for His help. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we thank Thee for the gift of Thy beloved Son. We thank Thee, our Father, that even before we were created, You knew that we would become helpless and undone. And knowing this, to send forth Thine only begotten Son, that He would bear the punishment for sin. We thank You that there is still an opportunity here and elsewhere for the gospel to be proclaimed. We thank You for the simplicity of it, our Father. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for bringing it down even to the understanding of a child. And there are those of a wide range of ages here this evening, and we trust that each one can at the end of this meeting say that they belong to Thee, Lord Jesus. We seek help in the passages that are before us, that Thou would give us a word that would speak to the heart of the lost, to the conscience, and those of us that are Thine. We give Thee thanks, Lord, for any testimony of Thyself that goes forth, no matter how much failure or weakness there may be on the part of the presenter. We thank Thee, our Father. We thank Thee, the Savior, that Thou art able to take even a simple word and turn it into blessing to a soul. We pray these things now, and we ask thy help. In thy name, Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Please turn with me to Luke chapter 11. And we'll read from the ninth verse. Luke 11:9. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. We'll stop there for right now. I find in these two verses three word associations. Ask, receive. Seek, find. Knock, open. And in a very simple way, I would say that those three word associations can describe someone that is lost in sin, in need of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it takes us all the way up to communion. Knock and open. And so just very simply this evening, I'd like to look at a couple examples of where these word associations are found. There are other examples, but just for simplicity tonight, we'll just look at one for each category, and then look at a couple other verses as well. So let's consider first, ask, receive. And it's interesting that basically verses 9 and 10 say the same thing, just repeating each other. So we can conclude from that this is very important. The Lord wanted his disciples to understand that, and I think he wants us to understand it, because sometimes we can take things of God and teachings from the Word and maybe make them a little more complicated than they might be. But I think here's an example of simplicity. The simplicity that is found in Christ. And he put it here that we would get a grasp on that simplicity. So, in verse 9, and the first part of verse 10, ask, and it shall be given. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. So let's consider the plight of one that knew he needed something. And the one that comes to mind is the Philippian jailer, a story known to all of us, I'm sure. And we know the jailer had the responsibility for prisoners, and if any prisoners escaped, he would be killed. And so here were his prisoners. There was an earthquake. Let's turn to it. Acts 16. Paul and Silas were in prison. Though they were bound physically, their spirits were not bound. Acts 16. and they were singing praises to God at midnight. And there's an earthquake. The shackles, the locks, the doors, they all fall off. The doors open up, and the prisoners could walk right out of that prison. And the jailer, knowing this, is about to commit suicide because he knows his prisoners are gone. He's a dead man. And so what do they say to him? Paul, in verse 28, cried with a loud voice, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." That in itself is remarkable, that the prisoners didn't bolt for the nearest exit. Instead, they were all there. A work, I'm sure, of God's hand upon them. But the prisoner, or the jailer, realizes that he needs something. And so he asks. He asks the question, "What must I do to be saved?" What is the reply? Believe. In verse 31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." But isn't it precious? It doesn't end there. "And thy house." "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." So here is the prisoner. He knew he had a need, and he asked, "How can I get this need fixed?" The message is believe. Believe. And so he receives from the Apostle Paul and from Silas, he receives the answer to his question. And, you know, when we read Scripture, we see that the Lord Jesus was very, very tender toward children. If a child wants something, they ask. And a parent or a grandparent or someone else that cares for that child will give it to them if it's good for them. And so they ask. And they're happy to receive what they've asked for. And here's the Philippian jailer. He's asking. And he received. We can read down in this portion further. And we find out that he received blessing. He took Paul and Silas into his house, dresses their wounds, blessing comes into that house, and those of his household are saved. Ask. Receive. And so I would, as we get further, I'd like to just speak a word about the parents, about your children, and the important charge you have toward them. But before we get to that, let's consider the second pairing of words, seek and find. Back to our chapter, Luke 11, verse 9, the middle of the verse. "Seek, and ye shall find." And the middle of verse 10, "He that seeketh, findeth." As a child, I remember growing up, especially at night, playing hide and seek. And of course, it was fun at night because being on a farm, there were lots of places to hide. And unless there were some rules and off limits, people would hide in all kinds of places and you could spend all night looking for someone, especially if the corn was tall. But this example It's very direct. Seek and ye shall find. There's no doubt. There's no question. Ye shall find. It's definite. And so it is with the Spirit of God working in the heart and conscience of a sinner. If someone is seeking, and we could use the example again of the Philippian jailer, he was seeking. He was asking. He received. And he found. He found eternal life. He found Jesus as his Savior. We had in our reading meeting the first chapter of John's Gospel. We'll just turn there for a verse that is an example of seeking. John 1, verse 38. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? Or where abidest thou? And he saith unto them, Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the tenth hour. This is a precious scripture, and even though prophetically and dispensationally speaking, it may apply to another time, I think we can take it and use it for the gospel, because the Lord was able to discern that there were some individuals that were looking for him, even though they may not have fully understood what they were looking for. Two disciples. They followed him. They heard Jesus speak and they followed him. Is Jesus speaking to your heart or mine tonight? Is there something that he's saying to you that has caught your attention? And you ask, where do you dwell, Lord Jesus? Where are you? Where are you? And he invites, come and see. He wants you to ask. He wants you to receive. He wants you to seek him. Because if you're seeking him, you will find him. He will not disappoint you. He will satisfy that longing. He will satisfy the search. And how many people there are that are searching for something in this life, and their search is of the nature that anything but Jesus, anything but God. Will their search ever be a satisfying search? Will it ever bring satisfaction? No. It will not. But if we turn to the Lord Jesus and we say, Where are you? How can I find you? He will answer. He will answer. He's going to turn to Isaiah 55:6. Hold our place in the 11th of Luke. Isaiah 55:6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Seek him while he can be found. You know, there is a day coming when those that seek him will not be able to find him. And it speaks of those that knock. And he says, "Depart, I never knew you." I trust that there's no one here tonight that may find themselves in that position of seeking and not being able to find, or knocking and not having the door opened unto you. Seek and you will find. Where are you, Lord? Come. Come and see. And then back to our chapter, Luke 11, verse 9, "Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." In the last part of verse 10, "To him that knocketh, it shall be opened." Again, a definite statement. A statement that leaves no doubt. It shall be. It shall be. Knock, and it shall be open. Well, whether it's seeking salvation, seeking relief from the conscience that's tormented by the weight and burden of sin for the sinner, he is there. And if we ask, seek, and knock, he invites us to come in. If we are his and we're hungry for fellowship, same thing. Ask, seek, and find. Ask, receive, seek, find, knock, and be invited into his habitation, into his company, and receive from him that which satisfies the soul eternally. And we have that, I'm just referring to it just to make sure that we have it correctly, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. This verse is used frequently as a gospel verse, and that is fine. But it really pertains to those that seek communion with the Lord. Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." The Lord desires our affections. He desires our companionship, our communion. And certainly he's deserving of it because he has given everything. Everything. For you and for me. And it's been brought out yesterday and today of where he came from, who sent him, and what it cost him, and who in this room can stand up and say, "I'm deserving." Not one of us. We are all guilty. Poor lost sinners. And fortunately, many of us, trust all of us, have been saved by grace, the gift of God. Now going back to our chapter, I just want to make a couple brief comments about verses 11 and 12. And I think this gives us an example of a son asking, and it's an illustration that the Lord uses in speaking to his disciples. But I think there's something for us from this as well. Let's start with verse 11. "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?" I think these two verses give us instruction as parents regarding our children. Sometimes we hear especially in this present age, that trying to communicate with children is, on one hand, you'll hear it said it's impossible to communicate with little children. On the other hand, you'll hear, well, try to explain to your child such and such. Well, both have their place. But in its simplicity, again, if we look at the pattern that the Lord said, He spoke about offending a little child. And so I was thinking, regarding these two verses, taking the first part of the 11th verse, if a son asks bread of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? What is bread? Well, the Lord speaks of himself as being the bread of life. And very simply, bread is, we might say, a simple food. It's a basic food. God fed his people in the wilderness with manna, a bread. And the application has been made that we as believers need to feed on the Lord every day, the bread. The Lord speaks of himself as the bread of life. And we need that sustenance every day. And so, as parents, it's important that we feed our children with bread. Now, that can take the shape of different things. It may be reading them a story out of the Bible. It may be having them learn a verse. It may be a family reading. But the bread, the word, is brought before them. It may be learning a song. I noticed last night and this morning, on an occasion, a child humming a tune of a hymn that we just sang. And I've heard on more than one occasion of a mother in a Costco store, the child down the next aisle singing Sunday school songs. What a testimony. Child does not have the same inhibitions that we have. Or I've heard on another occasion where parents left their child with someone in the care of a babysitter while they were about some activity. And when they picked the child up, the babysitter, they inquired, well, how was the child? And the babysitter said, well, she sang Sunday school songs. The importance of the bread to the child. Don't underestimate it. Let's give our children bread. Not a stone. Satan told the Lord after his 40 days in the wilderness, you're hungry? You fasted these 40 days, you're hungry? Command and these stones can be turned into bread. The Lord's reply was, my Father has not commanded me to do that, therefore I will not do it. But in a sense, that's what the enemy of our souls and the enemy of the children wants us to do. Take immaterial things and feed those things to the children. And that's what the world is doing. Occupying children's activities in their mind with things that are going to be destroyed, things that have no spiritual value, no spiritual sustenance. The enemy wants us to give, essentially, our children stones. But it's our responsibility and our privilege as Christians to give our children bread. And going back to the 10th verse, I'm sorry, 11th verse. If he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Well, we might say fish is a little more complex food, has a little more nourishment to it. Besides just the starch of the bread, we now have some fat and protein, something that's going to be more satisfying. And so, again, we have, I think, as parents and grandparents, we have the privilege of bringing our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And as we said before, the children are perhaps not as inhibited about some things that we as adults are. I remember hearing a story once about a man that he was a farmer. And he took his young daughter to a certain place of business, had to do with agricultural line of products. And he was standing there waiting, or being waited on, I'm not sure which. But in this store was another man, and he was speaking loudly, and he was using the Lord's name in vain, and saying some ungodly things and making ungodly remarks. And this farmer's daughter, I don't know how old she was, 3 or 4, 5, she walked up to that man and said, "Do you love the Lord Jesus? Do you love the Lord Jesus?" The man was speechless. He had been blabbering away about this and that and ungodly things, and that little girl quieted him right up. I don't know what ever happened to him, but I know that the place where this took place, this account took place, apparently it fell silent. So it wasn't just that one man that heard it. It was everyone in that office. Again, children are great, can be great gospel preachers. Will you give him a serpent? Again, we can don't have to think very hard about how the world wants to introduce things to children. Dangerous things. And I'm speaking about children, but it can be said for adults as well. The enemy wants to introduce serpents into the lives of all of us. And what do serpents do? They can kill. They can bite. There was a story in the paper not long ago of two children. They were sleeping, they were in the care of a babysitter, and they were sleeping in an apartment above a pet store. And perhaps some of you heard of this. I think the children, two boys, maybe 7 and 9 or 5 and 9 or something like that. During the night, boa constrictor got out of its pen. They speculate went up through a air duct in the building, came out over the register, register was over a bed, and they speculate that maybe one of the children made some sudden movement, and the end result was that serpent, we call it a serpent, killed both of those young boys. That's what the serpent of this world wants to do. He wants to take the life of men, women, and children. So let's give our children fish. I can't help but think of the account in John 6. The Lord, there were people that needed to eat, and there was a lad there. What did he have? 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. The Lord is able to take what that lad had and feed the crowd. And so that is what we have as being redeemed children of God. We have the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and we have the ability to feed this world that is seeking. They're asking, perhaps knocking. And I think sometimes we maybe overestimate what is said to a large group of people, but there are many souls that are saved by the quiet testimony of a man or a woman. And we had the account, we were visiting this evening, a man, after he got saved, made it his mission to distribute 10 gospel tracts every day of his life, the rest of his life. And he didn't know of one individual that had been saved by his effort over 43 years. Until the very end of his life, it was brought to his attention how many thousands souls had been saved because the papers handed to one, passed off to another one, and it's like a seed that grows. Thousands have been saved by one paper, one gospel tract. And so whether it's in our private conversation, our work, our school, our assembly, we're exhorted to be faithful. To give, present the bread and the fish. And then next one, verse 11 or 12, if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Here again, scorpions, we think of a deadly sting, a wound that kills. And the contrast is the egg. What does an egg speak of? It speaks of life. And so if our children are asking questions, and even if they aren't, it's important for them to know the way of life. Satan is a great deceiver. There were two children, brother and sister, and they had a third sibling, a brother, who was a little younger than they were. And they would pray every day, every night, that their brother would get saved. And they would say their prayers before they would go to bed, oftentimes in the presence of their parents. And so the older two would pray, and they would pray for their brother that he might get saved. And their little brother, who was several years younger, he would pray, and he would pray that he would be safe. Not saved, but safe. And so this was like a repetition. The two older ones who knew the Lord Jesus as their Savior prayed for the younger one, and he perceived it as being safe, not saved. Well, we know that there's a significant difference, don't we, between being safe and being saved. We like to be safe from a coming storm, but we want to be saved when we're drowning, right, or in imminent danger. Well, one day this little boy told his mom or his dad, "I have a bad feeling inside me." Just a young boy. A little more than a toddler. A child, a very young child. And so they would explain to him that ask the Lord Jesus to help you to take away what it is that's bothering you. And so I don't know what it is. I just have a bad feeling inside. Well, over the course of about 2 weeks, that little boy came to understand that he needed the Lord Jesus. And it's a wonderful picture of how the Spirit of God is able to work in the heart of the youngest of children. And I think we over or underestimate their ability to take in these things that are given to them, the opportunities that we have. And so he knew the way, and he asked the Lord Jesus to take away his sin. So now he could pray, "Keep me safe." He could pray, "Keep me safe now," because he was safe. And so I trust that the situation with everyone here tonight, everyone is safe. And they will be kept safe. And let's not be neglectful of going forth with the gospel, no matter how much in weakness it's given out, God is able to use it to the blessing, eternal blessing of the soul. Just close in prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we thank you for another opportunity to present the good news of thy salvation. We thank thee for every evidence that we see or hear of the gospel going forth. And we thank thee too, Lord, that thou hast equipped each one of us in some way or measure to give out that gospel. Whether it be speaking publicly or privately, distributing literature, using a word of a child, or an act of kindness by one of thine own, whatever it may be, Lord, we thank thee that thou art able to use it to the salvation of souls. And we thank thee for the children that thou hast given, that are among us here and elsewhere. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that they too can be a great witness and testimony of thy love and thy grace. And we thank thee for the manner in which thou art able to use them. We thank thee again for this day and thy mercies to us. We ask thee now for thy care and keeping through the night. Help us as we prepare too for the morrow, should thou tarry. We give thanks and we pray in thy name, O Jesus Christ. Amen.